I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Kate Ware. She is the curator of photography at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and Shubhankar Banerjee, who is a photographer who is in the exhibition Earth Now, American Photographers and the Environment. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, this is a stunning, fascinating exhibition which opens tomorrow night, Friday, at the New Mexico Museum of Art. How did you put it all together?
Well, I got here a couple of years ago, and it was we had a spot for a photography show. I wanted to make kind of a start and show people what I could do, and we thought about doing a landscape show. I had a lot of trouble figuring out what to do, though, because there have been a lot of landscape shows. And I was interested in looking at environmentalism in some way. Well, there have also been a lot of projects on that as well. And every time I started down a road with an idea, I found a really great book or a really great exhibition that had already been done on that. So that was a challenge, but we...
Do they call that curator's dilemma?
Really? And not everything has to, you know, I'd rather do something good than something original, but original is good too. I wanted to bring something fresh anyway to the fore. And so I grounded the show in Ansel Adams and Elliot Porter, who are so important here, are so important in landscape photography, both artists, photographers, who also were really passionate about the environment and used their photographs to advocate for the environment. So that was the germ of the idea. And then spinning out from there and seeing, well, what happened after that.
And what's so interesting is when you think of Ansel Adams, you think of beautiful landscape, beautiful Western landscape. But, of course, if you are doing a show that has environmental issues in it, there is a need to show the ugliness, the human intervention, and some of the real problems in the landscape.
We started out with Adams and Porter because they didn't do that, and that's one of the interesting things to look at in the first gallery, which is kind of a historic look at approaches to landscape photography and approaches to communicating about environmentalism. So both Adams and Porter showed a very idealized and unpopulated landscape and focused on some of the really tremendous geographic features of this country. And they were hoping that that beauty and that exceptional vista would inspire people to take care of the world.
And yet there were other people who ended up doing some, for example, Richard Misrock, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Did some really effective, and can you call them beautiful photographs of like bomb craters and the blights on the landscapes that we have caused.
Right, and that's what you see in the first gallery is this progression from the idealized view of Porter and Adams through into the 1980s and 1990s when you're talking about Richard Misrock, a California-based photographer who really took a very hard look and a very activist look at what was happening and made a different view was really showing the damage. Some of the damage that's been done by people in the landscape. And so in that first gallery, you see the pictures getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You see color being introduced. You see harsher realities being introduced. And I've been saying to people, in a way, it's like shouting. You sort of see it starts off with the soft, pristine beauty, and then you've got the big, red, toxic spill.
And one of the things that I found interesting in your text is that there are very few people who want to buy the books and the photographs of things that are big, red, toxic, and ugly.
Well, that was another interesting trajectory. We allude to that a little bit in the show, that Adams and Porter, one of the ways their work was disseminated so broadly was through the Sierra Club books and that book publishing program. And so, you know, up until at least the end of the 20th century, that still was a really important vehicle for getting the word out. And now the question is, most of the show, as we'll talk about, is devoted to 21st century work, and I'm not sure that model is still viable for them.
Exactly. And which photographer was it who wanted to actually get paid in books so then he could distribute them to Congress people?
Right. Robert Ketchum had early on. He had his work published by Aperture. A couple of his books were published by him, but he was just finding that already in the 1980s, I guess it would be not the most effective model for what he was hoping to accomplish. He felt like the books were just going to art lovers or people in the Hudson Valley for the Hudson Valley book, and he wanted more people to look, and he wanted people to do something.
One of the things that this exhibition brings up is the question of the extent to which we experience landscape on our own and the extent to which we experience it through photography, through pictures, through images.
That's one of the things that that Adams and Porter talked about. Just to, I keep going back to them. I've also said, though, I think, you know, they've gotten enough attention. We need to look at some new models. There's always something to go back to in their work. But they were hoping that people could have a vicarious experience. Well, maybe at this juncture, our experience is almost too vicarious. You know, we see things through the glass windows. We take pictures with the cell phone. Are we out in nature? And that was one of the things that drew me to Schumacher's series.
Tell us about your series. You have a series in this show taken right here in New Mexico. What did you make a rule for yourself that it could be with the pictures you were taking had to be within a certain distance of your house?
That's right. So I came back. Well, New Mexico was my home coming straight from India back in the early 90s. I lived here 7 years, went back, went to Seattle, lived 10 years, and then came right back here in 2006. And we were living back then in El Dorado, and it's a project that just grew on its own, really, just looking at where I was living. So it ended up being called Where I Live, I Hope to Know. And but I had two initial things that I came across that jolted me. One was, as soon as we moved into the house, within a couple of days, we had a house finch that I found dead outside the porch, had hit against the glass and died. And it's the second largest cause of bird death next to habitat loss. Between 300 million to a billion birds die each year in North America alone doing that. So that was like jolting. I took a little photograph with that. And then I would see these vast numbers of dead pinyons in the northern New Mexico area, primarily Santa Fe, but also outside, going towards Los Alamos and all that. So, but these two dead things, and in a way, for me, in a weird way, dead things result in a desire, and I just had a desire to know where I live. So it ended up being a walk, and yes, it became a little conceptual in the sense that I walked only 5 miles around my home over a period of 4 or 5 years now. And what ended up happening is it redefined the desert completely for me. So, and in the sense of ecology, who lives right here? And I think for people of Santa Fe, it would be the case. Just to give a very simple example, when I drive from Santa Fe to Albuquerque, or let's say that take the train, you look out on both sides, and what do we see? Many would call it a barren wasteland, like there is nothing out there. And even a lot of contemporary photography might look at it with the distant perspective. I instead think about the birds that are nesting there. There are more than 400 species that make their home in New Mexico. 250 species make their home in this pinyon juniper woodland. So it's really a body of work to get to know where I live and even defamiliarize the New Mexicans with their own home. That's the idea.
What do you mean by defamiliarize?
It's home is a place that we take it for granted. We think we know where we live, but we really don't, unless we engage and participate. So what I'm really hoping that through the works that in Kate show is that we would engage. And the first piece that she shows is a dead pinyon. And it's really about getting close to it, not looking through a glass window that we do every day through our cars. And when we get close, we see a different world.
And when you walk, it's such a slow process. You look up, you look down, you look in front of you, and when you're deliberate like that, all sorts of things. Even walking downtown in Santa Fe, walking along the so-called river,
yes,
if you do it slowly,
yes,
enough, Santa
you
notice
Fe
all
river.
Sorts of things.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's really like Adams and Porter was doing that, but they had a different intent. Then came, let's say, the Richard Mizrach, and we were talking about Robert Glenn Ketchum. Now we are at a point where our planet is on the verge of collapse. I mean, to put it mildly, things are just happening at a remarkable pace. So we are back at a point where getting engaged is all I'm hoping. And it's not just me. There's so many photographers, contemporary section like Kate was referring to, is really doing that. Mike Vorman's work, whom I'm familiar with, and there are many others in the show that are exactly doing that, that engagement or participation. Like Vorman is a very engaged artists looking at the New Mexico and the Chihuahuan border and
right,
all of that border regions. So a lot of these artists are coming back to that full circle of what is the idea of home? Like, what do we call a home? And how do we do that with photography? And I think photography is a great place in the 21st century. Fight the fight locally, but all this local has a global implications too.
The second part of the show is called Finding Your Way Home. Why did you choose that name?
I felt like there was something kind of mediating about the 21st century work, that there was a shift from the extremes that we see in the kind of historical trajectory in the first gallery of idealism, ambiguity, pessimism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was interesting to me about a lot of the contemporary work that I looked at was that it seemed to be, I hesitate to use this word, but accepting. And so accepting of where we are and wanting to acknowledge where we are and go on from there. And so that's one of the ideas that I was really interested in, is that we're not trying to cut the power lines out of our landscape photograph anymore. Let's look at them. They're part of our landscape now. And we either accept them or we make a different choice. And we certainly are really interested in, especially having young people come in and realizing that the environment isn't something that's out there or over there. It's right under your feet and you're breathing it. So, you know, connecting with this idea of home, you know, you're in the environment.
It's right
here now.
Yeah. And yeah, like exactly. You said, the Santa Fe River, it's anywhere you go. And there are all kinds of things pop up and you realize it. And it's also, it's that we are not the only species on this planet. There are many others we are wiping out at an unprecedented rate. So it's really like accepting, like you're saying, that let's see who lives here, who is who is everybody?
Yeah, and finding your way home is that is our home.
That is our home.
It's outside the window, but it's right. This is we're part of it, and
we
it's
are
part
it.
Of us.
Right, right.
And the window is not a real boundary. You know, we're breathing the air, we're drinking the water, we're eating the food, and we are interacting with the entirety of our ecosystem all the time, whether we think so or not.
Yeah.
Some of the photographs in the show make me think of the reality that we're not always going to be here, and other species, especially plants, are going to just grow and reclaim all of these things that we've built. There's one photographer who does, remind me what the name is.
That's Brooke Reynolds, I think you're thinking of, who does the series Light, Sweet, Crude.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's, yeah. Wonderful
right.
work.
And she was interested in showing what the world would look like either when we're not using oil-powered machines to get around, or maybe these the gas stations that were such a mainstay of our existence would be ruins that would be taken over by wisteria and all
exactly.
sorts of encroaching plants. So she shows, there's a gigantic gas station sign that's got a ripped cloth around it, and then there's another abandoned gas station that's just being encroached on by plants, and you sort of get the sense that they'll just exponentially increase until the whole thing is covered and eventually destroyed by the little progression of these the plant life.
You bring up in your essay the idea about anthropomorphizing nature and the ins and outs of that, and I mean, I think when one looks at these photographs, or indeed when one's out hiking, you can kind of anthropomorphize trees and think of them as a forest of these kind of tree people standing there. Is that good or bad?
That was an interesting quandary when I was writing, because I was thinking it's a great strategy, and part of what I was looking at is how do the artists get our attention? How do they get us into their point of, well, not their point of view, that's wrong. How do they get our attention and slip past our defenses? And so I was thinking, in some ways, the anthropomorphizing is one way that happens, because we see a reflection, we see us, we see human, something that's human rather than something that's foreign. But at the same time, of course, these are living beings that are completely different from us, have different needs from us. And
Some different needs.
Some different needs, right? And we're not the boss of them, necessarily.
We're talking about the show Earth Now, which opens tomorrow at the New Mexico Museum of Art, American Photographers and the Environment. So it's American photographers, and it's certainly not limited to New Mexico, but there's definitely a focus on New Mexico, too. There's an Acequia series.
Right. Sharon Stewart, who lives up in Chacon, was very interested in the model of working cooperatively with landscape, And she had an opportunity to be a guest at Olympia, the annual spring cleaning of these wonderful irrigation canals, essentially, really, really ancient form of irrigation. And she was just really inspired by the sense of working cooperatively with nature, working cooperatively with the community. So that became the focus of her project.
There's also in the book, in the catalog, I haven't seen the show yet, and I think it's very important for people to go see the show and not just read the catalog because of the scale of a lot of these pictures. But I get such a sense of not only, I mean, we talk about the destruction of the environment through the corporate system and unbridled growth and greed and things like that, but also bombing and all of the kind of military violence to the land that's been done is a theme that we see in this book. And somehow some of these they look like sort of the dead bodies of old bombs and missiles and planes and things like that.
Yeah, there's a sense in some of the pictures of carcasses in a way.
Yeah.
And certainly in the desert Southwest, that's a big issue because that has been used for many years as a wasteland in some ways, a place that's expendable, that is not as useful for human habitation, and therefore has been used for testing and bombing and so forth. And of course, earlier you were talking about Richard Mizrak, and his series Bravo 20 is about some unauthorized bombing in Nevada. Michael Berman, for instance, who's a photographer working in southern New Mexico, has a really interesting twist on that. We essentially end the show with his work. He is, in some of his pictures, he's one of the things that he's showing is that these bombing ranges or these places that are now off limits because they've accumulated toxic waste or have unexploded ordnance, some of those sites have the best soil in the state because it's been undisturbed for so long by humans.
Very interesting. Well, and you know, this is a photography exhibition, and at the same time, there's a bit of a focus on all the invisible toxins that are in this world that we're eating, drinking, and breathing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had an interesting challenge with the show in keeping the focus on the art, and because there are so many issues that the artists engage, and it raises so many interesting issues. One of the artists, for instance, has her series is on light pollution, we'll call it. So she used this map from NASA of the cities in the world who excrete the most light at night, and so she photographed those. I mean, that's quite a fascinating subject, but we did want to keep the focus on the art and stay away from political things as well. But one of the things that I got interested in is then how do the artists communicate with us and why do they keep trying? And that, again, brought me to the contemporary practitioners.
Well, why do you keep trying, Shubhankar?
Well, this is the only planet we got. That's our home. So we have to keep trying. We have no option. And I, of course, I mean, other than being a photographer, personally, I'm an activist. So I keep trying. And I think art has a tremendous role to play. It always has. So here is our time now.
Well, you took amazing photographs of the National Arctic Wildlife Refuge, and those did have a political effect, did they not?
It did. It actually, during the Bush era, we actually stopped and won that case time and time and time again because of photography. My photography played a crucial role. But it's, we don't know, like Kate and I were just talking a while ago, that we don't know how and when an impact could happen. An artist can never predict that. But we are engaged, and in that case, of course, the politicians got engaged, the senators got engaged, and I was even called a liar by an influential senator. All of that happened, but it's through that engagement, photography could make a tremendous impact because it's something that has emotive possibilities, meaning it's something that could inspire feelings, and then we could act. And in that case, because it's such a faraway land, it did work. And it's an ongoing battle, though. It's been going on for 5 decades. My work is only last 10 years. Here, right now, I'm working on, you know, this global forest death. And right here, it has happened. 55 million pinyons died in New Mexico, our state tree, between 2001 and 2005. Hardly do we care. Hardly do we know much about it. But it's not a local phenomenon. It's happening all over the world. It's one of the largest climate change impacts right now on the planet. But the problem is that it's easy to say 200 million trees died. But then the question that I raise, how many billions or tens of billions of life that used to depend on that 200 million trees died? Do we know? We don't.
Exactly.
We don't. Yeah. So one of the things I'm trying to do in this exhibit is bringing that, even after a pinyon is dead, what life is out there after death, that the tree did not die a natural death, that you will see these soft globs means that the tree fought. History, but then there is a contemporaneity. It's not all finished yet. There are birds making home here. There are birds used to make home here. There are things avian, there are things underground. So I kind of became a detective of the desert, essentially.
We're talking about the exhibition Earth Now, which is opening tomorrow at the New Mexico Museum of Art. Kate, do you have, besides the opening, do you have any special events surrounding this? I would think it would be an incredible teaching tool for everybody, including young people.
We do. We're really excited about the programs. And most immediately, the weekend of the opening, Michael Berman, one of the artists in the show, will be speaking in the St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexico Museum of Art at 10 o'clock on Sunday, is that the 10th, I think it is? So that should be quite interesting. We really encourage people to come to that. On Mondays, starting in June, I think, several of the artists in the show and various other people will be giving gallery talks at noon. And we also, of course, have our docents giving their Wednesday talks. We have a contest for kids that's underway, kids in the schools, to have them show what they think their environment looks like. And
through photography?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Great. I didn't know that.
I should also mention we have a website for the show, which started out as a preview of the show and has now been expanded somewhat. But there's a curator's blog that we encourage people to respond to. There's a music section because we were really interested in the idea of how do artists reach people, and music is another way and maybe a more familiar way for some people. So we have various set lists submitted by different people, and we encourage people to submit their own ideas.
And what's the website?
And actually, the website is a little too long to read over the air. So if you Google the words Earth Now American Photographers, anything like that, it will just come right up. I think, you know, from Ansel Adams on forward, the way we see the land through photographs also influences the way we see the land when we photograph. So everybody goes out and they're looking for a kind of Ansel Adams-ish photograph or a Richard Mizrachi kind of photograph. That's how we see. And so it just underlines, I think, how important it is to have these exhibitions of so many different ways of seeing the world, because it helps you kind of frame the world when you're actually walking out in it.
Mm-hmm. People always ask me if I'm a photographer, and I see those other views throughout history. I've got those stuck in my head. So for me, it's hard to see it's something new. But it's astounding how many fresh viewpoints are there.
So the exhibition is Earth Now, American Photographers and the Environment. Kate Ware and Shubhankar Banerjee. Kate Ware is the curator. And once again, it opens at, 5 o'clock?
5:30, I believe.
5:30 at the New Mexico Museum of Art, which is right on the plaza. So go check it out. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much. That was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.